W-O-N-Y Oneonta.
Hold up, take a moment, count my guap, count my guap.
We play
these rags, bumming in, they bumming in, hold up.
A little bit of everything.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. My name is Gideon. We've got Sophia in the studio with us, and we welcome, following the incredible Lisa Heller, we welcome Luke Mock.
Yay.
Woo.
Yay, thanks.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling great, honestly. Nervous.
Nervous? Yeah. For this or for the concert?
For the concert, I'm super happy to be here. But yes. Honestly, you know, just to...
You're not nervous for this, are you? I don't make you nervous?
You know, in a different way.
Yeah, okay. We're about to have a really super, like, serious, professional discussion.
Yes.
Because I don't know you at all.
Right, not even a little.
So, I don't know you. You know, this is the first time I'm meeting Luke Mock ever. Tell me about Luke Mock.
Well, first of all, I'm so happy to be here. Opening for the Driver Era, you know, with Lisa Heller. I love her. She's amazing. Just telling you about me, I guess. I'm an acoustic, often, but indie pop artist. And I'm from Auburn, New York. I'm... just put out a bunch of new songs, and I'm super, super excited. I've got this cool string of shows I'm doing, and I'm super happy to be here right now. And I was saying that I'm nervous, but honestly, it feels good to be nervous. It's been a little while since I've felt nerves for a show, so I'm kind of taking that as meaning, like, I'm excited.
Yeah, that's a little nervous is okay. A little nervous makes,
like,
it...
If I'm nervous, I must be excited. It must be important. Like, I know it's going to be good, though.
Exactly. So, you've been playing a string of shows. Tell us a little bit about, like, where you've been playing lately.
Absolutely. So, I was just playing at the State Fair. That was incredible. The New York State Fair in Syracuse. And I also just got done with a show opening for the Q-Tip Bandits in Ithaca, which was awesome. They're an amazing group, and After Six was another one of the acts that played. They were incredible as well.
And now you're here.
Yes.
Back in Oneonta.
We made it. Back home.
Back in Oneonta. You played a lot while you were a student here. You just graduated, but you used to play here a lot.
I did. I miss it more than anything.
Are you excited to be back?
I'm unbelievably happy to be back here, but I will say I don't know what it's going to feel like. Like, the show, I've played a bunch of places here, but I haven't played the arena. This, you know, I haven't, that atmosphere is going to be different, and I know it'll be special. So
it's like a homecoming show,
something like that. Yeah,
it's gonna be really cool. So we just played the Universe Funk remix, which you dropped Universe when you first got here as a student, right?
Yeah, so I wrote it immediately as I got here in 2019 and released it, recorded it, finished recording it right when COVID started, and then released it during that first summer going into my sophomore year when we were all home.
So then, flash forward, you know, that was a huge hit locally, huge hit. I just remember, like, being at one of your shows and everybody was singing along. But you, this past year, when you were leaving as a senior, you dropped a remix with Xavier Sharp, which I also don't know him, never met him before. Don't know who he is. Yeah, I don't know. But you dropped a remix with him. What was that collaborative process like, and what made you want to drop a remix like that?
Well, I'll start with the second half of that question. It was kind of a full circle moment, and the process of, like, getting us started and kind of how it came about started with Xavier, kind of really wanting to experiment with the song, and he kind of pressured me just a little bit, and then we were like, wait, this is really cool, when we started kind of messing around with the more funk elements in the production, and we were like, oh, we should, like, do this for real, because it, you know, I came here, put out Universe, and now I was preparing to leave, and it was just kind of a full circle moment to kind of put this new, and to me it feels like a new and improved version with its own kind of taste to it. So
for sure.
Yeah. And the collaboration process was great. Xavier and I lived together at the time. So we would basically, I would hear him working on it down the hallway. And he was kind of like hyper obsessed with it.
I remember like listening to it when it was in fruition.
Yeah, it was definitely a really fun process. I've never made a song like that with someone that, you know, I lived with and, you know, where someone else was like, I'm super into this. And we spent a lot of time like developing what we wanted it to be. And I'm really happy with how it turned out. So it was really special. And working with Xavier, he's such a good producer. He's a great writer as well and an artist. But in general, just working with him on a song was super nice. We complement each other pretty well.
You do. Yeah. I saw an interview that you did with somebody else that you were going over your inspirations. And you said, who inspired you?
I thought you just said you read it. Who inspired me?
Who inspired you? No. This is how radio interviews go. I throw you a bone and you have to finish it.
Of course. So, I mean, I'm inspired by a lot of things. I mean, the sun coming up every day. No, but really.
So that's just, you know, Shawn Mendes waking up.
Yeah, morning. Basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, to a lot of people that listen to my music, know that I'm a big Shawn Mendes fan. You know, I got a lot of inspiration from him as a singer and a guitar player as I kind of developed and grew up. Lately, I find a lot of inspiration from other pop artists too, like Harry Styles, Olivia Rodrigo, Billie Eilish, and, you know, just a plethora of new music. I love the pop sound right now.
I agree. And, I mean, they're the best of the best, so.
And, you know, speaking of the remix, Dua Lipa as well, and Calvin Harris, that kind of stuff.
For sure.
A big inspiration for that, specifically.
For sure. So, you also dropped a new song this past summer, but before we talk about it, we have to talk about the most important song in the Luke Mock catalog. And that, of course, has to be High School Crush. We have to talk about High School Crush, Luke. You approved this question.
I did not approve such thing.
I didn't.
I approved nothing. You asked me before this, and I was like, we cannot talk. Okay, what do you want to know? What do you want to know?
Well, I never heard the song. Oh. And because the one show you played the song that I was, since I got to Oneonta, I wasn't there. I had COVID. So
that's a bummer, man.
Yeah. And I remember texting our friend Erin. She like sent me, oh my God, he's playing High School Crush. And I was like, there's no way. There's no way that I have COVID and you're playing High School Crush. So now, as to make up for that, you have to talk about it on air.
Okay. Well, that was the song that kind of followed me. Like, if I were to say that Universe was the full circle moment song of my career here in Oneonta, High School Crush was the song that followed me throughout my freshman to senior year in high school.
Gotcha.
It kind of became noticed by the school because there was this talent show that we would do right before winter break at my high school. And I ended up winning the talent show my freshman year. In the final round, I played that song. I played High School Crush. It was the only original that I had played. And ever since then, like, everyone in the school knew it, and it kind of became that song. Like, Universe Is Here, it became the song that followed me throughout high school.
Yeah.
Until I got here and replaced it with Universe.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I know that question was something that, actually, I have to give a shout out to Hannah, because Hannah came up with that question, right?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. I'm super, super glad.
Yes, super glad. So, before I let you go, and before we play your new song, I want to talk about What You Deserve. That's probably, like, one of my favorites that you've done. I remember,
Thank you.
Watching you play it, watching you, just your kind of creative journey with that song, from everything to, like, the writing of it, and then when you were going through the producing process and putting it out and marketing it, and even down to, like, the cover art, which I can't claim that, you know, I was a part of that, but it was really cool to see when it came out.
Yeah, I mean, you were around for the whole process in terms of getting it done, so.
Yeah. It's just so it's cool to see that it's out, and it was cool to listen to, you know, on my phone, which, by the way, you can totally listen to on your phone at Luke Mock on Spotify, Apple Music, everywhere you get music. And what's your website? LukeMock.com?
LukeMock.com, you know.
LukeMock.com.
Heck yeah.
You can see merch, where he's playing, all that stuff. But talk a little bit about, before we play it, talk a little bit about What You Deserve.
Sure. So this was probably the song that I really came into my own as a producer. And I'll get into like what the song is actually about. But in general, the song, it was the first song I really produced on my own. I had a lot of help and mentorship and collaboration with friends and really talented people with the rest of my other songs as well. But that was really where I sat down, wrote the song with a good friend of mine named Brian Blowers. I write a lot of songs with him. But in general, the production was very me. I got every element, wrote every element, and kind of constructed it to be what I felt like really represented me as an artist the most. And so I guess just talking a little bit about what it's about. The writing was talking about how I was unable to kind of give somebody what they deserved in a relationship, and it was very difficult because it was better for them.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. Stream Better by Luke Mock.
As you were talking about the song, the Be Real went off.
Yeah, I was going to say, your Be Real is going to be cooler than mine.
So check out his Be Real, too, if you want to see a little behind the scenes of the madness in here.
Check out his Be Real.
So, yeah, we're going to play What You Deserve by Luke Mock. You're opening the show tonight at the Dwar Arena. Luke Mock, Lisa Heller, The Driver Era. Make sure you keep tuned in to WONY 90.9 because we might have another special guest coming in a little later. So keep your eyes peeled and ears peeled for that. This is What You Deserve by Luke Mock.
And now for the number one song in Bikini Bottom, Electric Zoo.
Hey, that's pretty catchy.
You're listening to WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta, the best radio station in all of Bikini Bottom. Don't touch that dial. Keep it locked.
I love this young people's music.
Hi, I'm Emily Phelps. My pronouns are she, her, and I run our Gender and Sexuality Resource Center here on campus. SUNY Oneonta wants everyone to feel comfortable on campus. Because of this, we want students to be aware of our policies surrounding inclusive restroom use. It's New York State law and campus policy that any individual can use whichever restroom they feel the most comfortable in. In addition to this, we also have gender-neutral, single-stall, lockable restrooms located in every building. For a map of where these restrooms are located, please see the Transgender Resource Guide on the SUNY Oneonta website. As always, feel free to reach out to the GSRC with any questions.
Thank you. Shady, ain't calling. It's hard to believe that you are at home by yourself when I just heard the voice of someone else. Just this question, why do you feel you gotta lie? Getting caught up in your game when you cannot say my name.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. Come here. You know you can't be out there with the undead on the loose. I'm gonna try to get a radio signal to find help out there. Almost found something. Oh, I got it. You're listening to WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. Oh, and check that door. Yeah, keep it locked.
You're listening to WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. We've got me here, Gideon. We've got Sophia, Victoria, Ellie, and we welcome to the studio the Driver Era. Woo! So you've been touring colleges recently. How's that experience been? Has it been like, is it different touring colleges versus like your own headlining shows? Or like, how is that? The crowd's different. How's that experience?
Yeah. It's been really, really fun. We've just been doing like a bunch of one-offs this year, playing a bunch of festivals and a bunch of college shows. It's a lot more relaxed. Whenever you're touring, the schedule's quite grueling. Because you're doing a bunch of shows back to back. But when you do a college show, you just kind of fly in and play one show. So it's pretty fun. It's pretty like, it's always fun to see like new faces in the crowd, and you never really know what to expect, but all of them have been really great. People keep showing up and having a good time, so we keep showing up too.
Any like experiences that stick out? Or
We just played in Florida, and like I want to say like 8,000 people showed up. So that was pretty cool. We didn't expect that big of a crowd.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So that was like that was pretty exciting. We just played West Virginia with what's his name, Flo Rida.
Oh, we had him here last year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty fun.
Shout out to Flo.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I guess one memory that sticks out is after one of these shows, we went to a bar. And they let us like behind the bar, and we were like making everyone drinks. That was pretty fun.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
Bartender Ross.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do that, and I can't remember how it happened. I think I asked someone, one of the bartenders, like, "Can I make drinks or whatever?" And he was like, "Yeah, absolutely." Because I don't know, it's always been a fantasy of mine.
Right.
That was pretty cool.
That's a really fun story. So we were kind of like listening to your music, and we were realizing you've been pretty consistent about getting new music out, and it's almost a year since Summer Mixtape, which is pretty cool. We were wondering, like, what is your creative process like for new albums and stuff?
It varies. We're kind of always making music. Whenever we're home, like, it's like that's just our happy place. We're always in the studio. But it just depends. Like, sometimes inspiration just hits and you just have to like run with it, and then other times it's a little more thoughtful and you're like, oh, let's make a song for this. Like, we just wrote a song that's kind of like based off a narrative. I don't want to spoil it. But it just changes. I don't know, however inspiration strikes. What do you think?
It is always different. And like Ross was saying, like, we're kind of always writing, like, all, even like when we got on the plane to come here, like, I wasn't necessarily like, I didn't have like my laptop out and I wasn't making a song, but in my mind I was like moving forward with something. So you're kind of always doing that, and like sometimes our friends are like, oh yeah, so when you get back to LA, like, what are you guys gonna do? You're gonna write or something? And it's like, you're always.
Right.
It's like you just never stops.
Mm-hmm. We want to plan a few trips to like go. We have like a portable studio, so we want to plan a few trips around that and just like go off somewhere and just write for like some weeks. But one thing I heard recently, there's this podcast by Andrew Huberman. He's like, I think he's the neurologist at Stanford. But he's super cool. He talks about how having a he talks about dopamine a lot, and instead of having a rewards it's hard to describe. Instead of like giving yourself rewards, praising yourself basically on hard work and getting better, and how that affects your dopamine. I'm not describing it super well because I haven't listened to it in a minute. But that's something I've been focused on a lot, is instead of like producing something that that people are, instead of striving for something that I think that people are going to really enjoy, striving to just get better.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of like some of your like musical inspirations over the years?
We love a lot of stuff.
I've been liking
Rufus?
Oliver Tree.
Yeah.
that's a good one.
We saw him in Ohio, and he's a wild man. I like him. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's written some good songs, and he's kind of got, he's like the male Lady Gaga to me. I never heard it or never thought about it until now, but anyway, that's just like someone random and new. Older artists, you know, and anytime we ask that question, you know, there's always like Prince, Pharrell, Michael Jackson, Bruce Springsteen, NXS, Jay-Z, Dr. Dre, Pharrell, Neptunes.
We played a lot of cool festivals this year with like a lot of really cool artists, and they've honestly been really inspiring. Just because whenever we play a festival, we're like the kind of band that likes to like run around and see all the acts.
Yeah.
So we played with like Kendrick Lamar, that was really cool. Rosalía is really inspiring right now. Kings of Leon was amazing. So some of those acts that we got to see live and learn from was really cool too.
Yeah. If you want like something, if you listen to this and you want something like a little heavier, more rock and roll or something like that, go peep Queens of the Stone Age. Mm-hmm. I got some nice like just like kind of good like straight up rock. It's nice. It's good. Go peep it.
Okay, so while we have you here, we wanted to do a little something fun.
Sweet.
We were doing research when we found out that you guys were coming here. Me and Ellie were doing a little research, and we did a little bit too much research. We did a little too much research, and we did some digging, and I'm just gonna slide the picture across the table, I'm gonna let you take this one.
Who is it?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Wait. Oh, okay. I've seen way worse. This is way better.
I've seen worse than that, too.
Oh, sure. Let's go.
That's Wyatt, bro.
Yeah.
That's Wyatt and Ryland.
Okay, and, yeah. What were y'all doing right there?
I have no idea.
The hair is great.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Yo, I didn't know Ryland was that young while we were
there. That was like 2002 or something.
So, yeah, that's one of our brothers is on the left. That was a homie of ours in the middle that we kind of like just grew up at this dance studio with, and that's Ross on the right. I
don't know what the significance of this photo is though.
No. I'm probably teaching gymnastics or something at this point. Like, I don't know what's going on. Also, this is the time when like y'all look kind of cute. So it's not like a cringe photo. You know what I'm saying? I thought y'all were going to pull out something crazy.
I'm not that mean.
Give me like an ick photo. Give me the ick, you know? This is like y'all are ready to riz right here.
We had just come off a riz session.
Yeah, look at this.
We're feeling good about
ourselves.
Look
at that belt buckle, bro. Oh, you got electricity flowing from right there.
That's right.
Right there.
Right in the belt buckle.
Oh, my gosh.
Dang.
Yeah, no, we just like wanted to hear what you had to say about like the Rage Boys crew, because that was a fun little discovery that we made.
Yeah. We were on So You Think You Can Dance.
Right, yeah.
A couple times.
Saw the videos.
You did?
I did see the videos.
That was back when we were doing like all this dance stuff. Well, we grew up in the dance studio.
Do they? Right. Is that show still on?
I think.
Oh, I think I might.
Maybe not.
I might audition.
Go for it. Bring the Rage Boys crew back.
Yeah, if it's still a thing, I'm just going to go pull up, do a dance solo.
Do it.
For whoever the judge is. Contemporary,
right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably as much.
You got it. You'd win.
Yeah.
100%.
I'm going for that.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Trophy. Watch out, boys.
You've got this. Okay. So, one last before we let you go. You're playing Oneonta tonight. You're playing the Dewar Arena with Lisa Heller and Luke Mock. We had both of them in here. They're both great. Check out all of their music. Check out the Driver Era on Spotify, Apple Music. I don't know. Where else do you listen to music?
Just on the internet.
Yeah.
LimeWire. If you got LimeWire.
Kick a L. I was gonna say a bad word and I didn't. Whee!
How can Oneonta prepare to be the best crowd yet on this tour?
You don't have to try that hard. You just gotta show up and bring some dancing shoes, and we're gonna do the rest.
Cool.
Yeah. Just be open and present, and let's have a good time.
I like that.
Sick. Yeah. You heard it here first, Oneonta. We're doing it. All right. We're going to play your song, Heaven Angel.
Sick.
And thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it. We haven't done anything like this in a really long time post-COVID, so we really, really appreciate you guys coming in.
Cool. We're excited.
Yeah, thanks for having us, y'all.
Of course.
Let's go.
Thank you for taking the time to speak with me this evening. I think it's, is it evening where you are?
Yeah, it should be the same time as you. I'm in Buffalo, so 6:11 p.m.
Yeah, great. Eastern Standard Time. So first off, congrats on the new release, Gangster Love. I think this has to be my favorite release of you guys. I've just been listening to it all the time on repeat. So how long was this record kind of thought of and in fruition?
First of all, thank you, and second of all, it's kind of came to fruition over the course of 3 years since our second album Sup came out. We were writing and demoing kind of intermittently over the course of 3 years. Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
And what, I don't know if there's like a particular song that you guys started working on first or demoing, but is there a particular one that stands out to you as being kind of the first you started working on?
You know what? Hopefully Pitchfork doesn't hear this was actually demoed even prior to Sup, now that you mentioned it. It could have been on that album, but it, like so many other things in life, it got lost in the sauce. And then we randomly heard it when we were in the studio or like right before. It's kind of, the moment is escaping me, but it was at the last minute, and we were like, oh, this actually sounds fresh to our ears, and it was fun, so we just ended up recording it.
I love how you guys don't put yourself into just one box. You guys just recently tweeted about how, you know, the fans know that you aren't just making one kind of music. You know, you're not like your stereotypical pop punk band. You enjoy like a little bit of everything. And I've talked with people that feel like the industry is trying to push people into one box, trying to say, well, you have to be this, that, and the other thing. Do you have an opinion on that standard in the industry?
Well, we've never really been pressured to do one thing by like any industry folks. It's just like, I do think it's easier to maybe market an artist sometimes if you do one thing like very specifically, and like, cause you kind of make more sense in a certain scene, like whatever that scene might be. If you're a jam band or if you're a pop punk band or a emo band or a hardcore band. But yeah, like you said, we kind of just like, we like it all. So we just make it all. When we hear something we like, we kind of just go down that route.
I like that answer. I think that's important. I love the title, like, hopefully Pitchfork doesn't hear this. Like, that's very satirical comment on Pitchfork and that you made like to market it. I had to like really see if it was real or not, because it looked so realistic, because like Pitchfork has, you know, some reviews that are like that where they just give a terrible rating and people are like, what? And you know, you're not the first artist to comment on that. Like Halsey said they should like burn the Pitchfork basements that they come out of, and like Phineas just like their review about like the new Billie Eilish record was bad. Was this something that you just did like comically, or do you actually think like sometimes, especially music magazines or music sites, kind of, I guess like their opinions are, might just be not an opinion but for like a grab and a view?
Right, I know what you mean.
We kind of might have named it that as a joke, but not like really joking. Like I think we were really hopeful that they didn't hear it so they didn't bash it. I think that was kind of the energy.
Yeah, for sure. We just like are like criminally unserious at times, so like we just like to make music for fun sometimes, and like thinking about somebody sitting there and being critical of it is just kind of like a weird vibe when you're making something, you know what I mean? Like thinking about someone's reaction, or not even just a fan of music, but like somebody who calls themselves a critic, like that's such a weird, it's just a weird thing to be, the more I think about it.
Yeah, no, yeah. I get what you mean. I've done a lot of like music reviews too, and even if I don't call myself a critic, I just call it like a reviewer, and almost everything that I listen to is like, I put it in a positive light, even if I'm not like 100% a fan of it. I'm not like, oh, this person sucks. You know what I mean? I feel like that's kind of heartless.
I say that, but at the same time, I'll sit here and be like, oh, that sucks. sucks. I hate that song. So who knows? I'm probably just being a hypocrite.
Hey, that's okay. And you talk about your music, especially on this record, like has very unserious moments because you're kind of doing it for fun. You have, you know, playing nine holes of golf with an old man, the song manager haircut, naming those things. And then adding like those serious moments, like you have like drowning and then mental karate, you know, talking about anxiety and the feelings of that. And even how America has guns for sale at Walmart. Like you're making literal comments on things that you're seeing in society and stuff. Do you have like a conscious effort to have this balance, or is this just how it happens?
Wow, that's a really good question.
I don't know. I mean, maybe this album it was towards the end, but usually when we're making a song, we're kind of just making it in its own little world, and if it survives the test of time, then it kind of finds its job in an album.
Yeah,
for sure.
So luckily we have
and a lot. There's always like, I think that there's the fact that there's both serious moments and I don't know, observational moments in terms of like what we see in society, but then there's also just like fun moments is just kind of a product of life in general. Like sometimes things aren't serious and you're just having a good time, and other times you're like, what's going on in general? So yeah, it's just a product of life in general, I think.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And do you think it's important to you guys to have fun in music? Because at least from my perspective, artists I think are losing touch with that fun side and focusing more on like just trying to churn out something so people will like it. So do you think that that's like a conscious thing you guys are trying to continue to have fun with it and be creative with that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, 100% of whatever emotion, whether it's fun, dread, whatever it is, like if it's going to be one thing, I guess with us, it's going to be 100% that. So when there is fun, it's definitely like all the way. But yeah, it is generally speaking really fun to be in a band. So when you're doing things that are fun while it's fun, it tends to be even more fun. Yeah,
for sure.
That makes sense. And you just released the Ugly Crying With My Dog music video, and that also showcases you're taking, you know, a serious song that's talking about lyrics like where do I go when I die and having PTSD, and contrasting that with a pretty chill and like vibey, you know, you could tell you guys are having fun with that video. So what was it like making that video, and I guess why a video for that song in particular?
That's a good question. That one in particular, I think it's because the label asked us to do one for that one. But I think we have another actual video we made that day as well too that it will be out at some point. But yeah, I mean, to get back to your question, I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, Pat. Like
yeah, I mean, I guess the difference in vibe between song and video was kind of just because the video was like a DIY situation where like we just, the label picked it as a single and we really liked the song too, but we didn't have like a big budget for it, so we were going to New York to see our friend and he had a camera, and instead of making the video like super topical and like serious, it just seemed like why not just have a day in life and film it and sing the song. So it's just like, I don't think it was any type of like super serious creative decision, but yeah, at the same time it was kind of just a product of life happening, and I like it like that sometimes instead of it being like a full budget music video.
Yeah, it's definitely enjoyable to watch, and I think it fits with the song itself because, you know, you have the serious lyrics but it's not a serious tone. It's, you know, the instrumentation and all that is lighthearted, you know, you have lighthearted guitars and things like that, so it makes a lot of sense.
Exactly
that way. And I guess I want to ask more about the imagery surrounding Gangster of Love, especially the cow imagery, because I love cows, and I love like, you know, the cover, I don't really, the bottoms I guess you could say, that are cow prints, and then the hippie cow merch that you guys released. What why the cow, I guess?
It's really hard to say. A lot of times with our visual art that comes attached with albums or merch or anything, it's just like images or icons that move us in some way, and like I feel like more times than not we can't put our finger exactly on why. Same with like the titles for our albums, like Gangster of Love isn't one of our lyrics or anything, it's just like it's another lyric from another song that we couldn't quite put our finger on why it was so moving, but it just was like a direction we wanted to go. And same with the Highland cows. I just like remember seeing them and just being amazed at like the beauty of them, I guess. And I don't know, all of a sudden it just felt like something we could build around, I guess, highlighting their beauty and putting it into our work.
That makes a lot of sense. And I remember when you gave a similar answer when I interviewed you guys a couple years ago for Sup, and I was asking about the imagery. And so it seems that that has kind kind of still been kind of on brand for you to just kind of say, hey, we like this, here it is, not like huge big meaning behind it. And speaking of that interview that I did ask about your transition, ability to transition between one of you singing into the next very seamlessly, and Matt, you actually commented on how that style may not be final, and here we are with that happening a lot on this album. Are there any stylistic differences between your last release up to now, or is there anything you guys feel you've gotten better at as you keep creating new music together?
I think between the two, this one was probably, or I would say this one was definitely more collaborative
on like a foundation level, as opposed to either of us bringing kind of full concrete ideas. So with that, kind of opened up more doors, just or things that would maybe happen in songs that wouldn't have if there wasn't two minds kind of going at it. And ironically, the two most collaborative songs on the album ended up being singles by chance that wasn't our decision. So I guess that kind of shows, but I would say this one was even more collaborative in a simple answer.
That makes sense. Yeah. I wanted to ask about the new LLC of Jesus Rides a Harley, which I thought when I first heard that, when you first released the single, Manager Haircut, and I heard that, or I was like, whoa, this is interesting. Where did that kind of idea come from to start creating, you know, create an LLC like that and make that the tagline?
What was it, Pat? I mean, I think it was originally a song lyric.
Yeah, I forget the name of that song, something about Hawaii that you had going. Die in Hawaii. And somehow you said Jesus Rides a Harley in there. And yeah, there's always like, again, it's just a phrase that like was so absurd and I can't put my finger on why it's moving. But I guess the juxtaposition between, if I really do think about it from like an artistic perspective, the juxtaposition between a religious icon driving like an American capitalist icon is just like absurd. And like, I find that there's like a lot of people that like both of those things, but there's like a lot of contradictions there. And I just think that's really, it's just really silly and funny, I guess, in terms of like a social commentary on it. But in terms of it ending up, like, that is actually the name of our business. So like, I have to go to the banks sometimes and like say that out loud to professionals and they look at us like we're insane. So that's another funny aspect. But I feel like we did that because other bands we'd heard of, like that we loved, had always had like silly names in terms of like who pays their royalties and stuff. Like, it's always paid to like an insane LLC. Like, I can't, Matt, do you remember what Blinks is?
I think there's been a few.
Yeah, there's just some funny stories that we'd heard, so we figured we would just follow that trend and make an insane business name.
I saw fans were really happy that Drowning made it onto the album, and you know, it was a track that you played live prior to its release. Same with you know, Mental Karate. And did you know that while you were playing this live, while it was unreleased, that this was something that was going to go on the album?
I don't know if we know for 100% certain, but it was definitely trending in that direction. Just, I like, you really never know what's going to happen until you're in the studio actually recording a song or an album. But I think we wanted to make a conscious effort to play it to make sure that it would exist in the world, just because it was just, again, like a fun collaborative day when we made that song. We were just at like a lake house and wanted to be creative. So that's what came of it. And it's really cool that it exists now.
Definitely. And you guys, to kind of wrap up a little bit here, so you're about to go on tour, which is really exciting, this summer into fall a little bit. And crossing my fingers, I really hope to go to the Syracuse date. Without giving any like setlist spoilers or anything, what, hypothetically, what do you think would be kind of your favorite song from the album to maybe play live, or something you would love to play live one day?
There's a handful that I'm excited to play. Go ahead, Matt.
No, I was just going to actually just verse part of my language, mumble over my own words. I don't know. I think maybe Manager Haircut. We just started rehearsing now, actually, so we're just starting to play them all for the first time, and they're all actually pretty fun. And we're actually playing a bunch of old songs, maybe not on the tour, but at least now in our rehearsal space, that we've never played live. So it should be really fun and a different experience if you've seen us in the past.
Yeah, we've hardly played on tour for longer than a half hour, so we were going to play for an hour, I would assume, every night, and that'll give us a chance to play like at least 20 songs, if not a couple more. And yeah, for people who have been listening to our band since the beginning, I think it will be like extra cool, just because you might get to hear songs from like all three albums. And for people who are just starting to listen to our band, it'll be fun, I guess, for the same reason, because you'll get to hear the new stuff, but also be introduced to like where we started. So we're really excited. Summer Brews and Sydney Sprague are coming too, and It's like the best time of year to tour, August and September. So hopefully folks can make it.
Thank you, Matt and Pat from Super American. Go see them live, everybody, and listen to Gangster Love. Thank you guys for chatting with me today. Learned a lot about the album, and I can't wait to keep listening to it on repeat like I have been since its release. We're here. This is Moni 90.9 FM, SUNY Oneonta's radio station. We are on location at the Duar Arena for O-Fest with Waka Flocka and Yun M.A. We have Yun M.A. here right with us. How excited are you to perform tonight at SUNY Oneonta to a crowd of eager students?
I mean, you know, I've been performing at a lot of college shows. So one thing about the college shows, they get crazy. They get lit. So I'm always excited for this. Like, it's always a vibe. It's always just good energy. You know what I mean? A good performance to enjoy. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Yeah.
Definitely. Are you planning on maybe going out on any future dates after this, maybe a headline tour of some sorts?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get there. Once the music starts driving, we definitely head towards that direction. So, absolutely.
You just released Open Scars last year to a really awesome audience. In February, you posted on Instagram that new music is coming soon. When can your fans expect that?
Like in a couple of days.
Oh, that wow. is so exciting.
Trim. Big trim.
That's so exciting.
So yeah, we're coming crazy all summer. Actually, all summer is over. In May summer.
Keep That's an eye out, everybody. Yeah.
Exactly. Keep an eye out for that.
Eye out, foot out, toe out, everything.
And your music video for Big just hit 100 million views, which is not your first music video to do, so you have a lot of them that have hit that milestone. But that song came out, like, over 5 years ago, and now people, you know, it's hard to get people watching music videos. Everybody likes to stream nowadays. So how does it feel to have people still want to watch that video and support you in that way?
I mean, I think it's real dope because when you're an independent artist, like, those numbers is not easy to hit. You know what I'm saying? When you're independent, you grinding from the gutter, from the bottom, all through you. So hitting 100, even like 50, you know what I mean? It's big, you know what I mean? Shout out to Big. That's a platinum record too as well for me, my other platinum record. So, you know what I mean? When you hit those type of numbers as an independent artist, it's automatically like just a blessing, a gift, because as much work that's being put into it, it's not easy like it is with certain situations, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that's a big look.
You have always really had a very humble presence in the rap scene, mm-hmm. And you've shown your gratitude greatly by supporting community members through your Queens Foundation. Right. How important is it for you to remain humble in the rap scene and support those who need that support the most?
I think it's always important to stay humble because it keeps you grounded. You know what I mean? You're dealing with an industry that has a lot going on. Sometimes you can get caught up in it. Sometimes you can get lost. So, like, being humble, it kind of keeps me tamed, you know what I mean? Keeps me trim, keeps me level, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I purposely put myself in those positions where I remind myself to stay humble because you could get caught up. And, you know, I just enjoy it because at the end of the day, I be me at all times. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't change my ways for nobody. So, if me being humble is me, then that's just me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It ain't like a strategy to do. It's just something that comes with me, you know what I'm saying? So... Yeah,
I think that's super important, especially in the music industry with a lot of big egos. So.
Yeah, a lot of big egos, a lot of competition, a lot of things going on. Like, those are the type of things I don't let affect me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I stay in my own zone, stay in my own bubble, I move like that.
Definitely. And you've definitely also, besides music, besides we mentioned the Queens Foundation, whatever, and to kind of wrap it up, you know, you've gone to a lot of different avenues. You know, you mm-hmm. had, like, that alcohol collaboration that you had, and you had your mm-hmm. NFTs and things like that. When you were first starting out, you know, obviously you're probably very focused on the music, but how has it been to go into these other different avenues, and would you like to keep pursuing these other avenues besides music in the future?
No, absolutely. That's what we tapped into now. You know what I mean? Just definitely tapping into other avenues and different lanes of things where the business will continue to, you know, contribute. You know what I'm saying? Definitely my brand. I have my own brand that I move with, so it's always good to move into new avenues and stuff like that. So, yeah, we're doing that at the moment. You know what I mean? Like, music is here forever. But, you know, you know, as you go, you progress. You become, you know, a little more different. You start to tap into the business a little more, have more of a standing of what you can do and what you can provide financially and just branding-wise in general.
You put that really awesomely. So thank you so much, Yun M.A., for taking the time to speak with us. And we're really excited for your performance tonight.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
What's up, everyone? It's time to answer today's 10-second question. All right, you ready? Here we go. What radio station are you listening to? Time's almost up. 3, 3, 2, 1. The correct answer is WONY Oneonta, 90.9 FM, Red Dragon Radio. Don't forget to keep it locked.
Meet Ed, movie buff, animal lover, safe driver.
5 years of driving an ambulance teaches you a thing or two. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved.
You're listening to Radiothon. 24 hours nonstop tunes. Yeehaw! Only on WONY 90.9 FM, Oneonta the Whale.
What's one of your favorite memories?
That's a tough question. Well, there was this one time I went camping with my parents in a forest back when I was maybe like 8 or 9. And I can remember one night we were laying out in our hammocks and we were just, you know, watching the trees rustling in the wind above us, and we could hear the sounds of the forest all around us. Frogs singing and owls calling.